Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano. Welcome to this wonderful day. I am back amongst the living. We missed the show last week because I was sick. But I hear that a lot of people are out there sick. So for those of you that are sick, I hope you're feeling better. And for those of you that aren't sick, good for you.
Good for you.
Get some vitamin C and take care of yourself and sleep lots.
Give us whatever you're doing because sick people don't like it.
Neti pot.
Neti pot.
Have you heard of a neti pot before?
I have heard of it, yes.
Yes, so it's where you pour water into your nose. So I used to get chronic sinus infections, and so I can feel them coming on, and I felt I still got a little
I've had a real trouble with congestion this last week. No fun. I tried doing a saline spray, you know, but it just makes me feel like I'm drowning. So I'm assuming the neti pot is going to do the same thing to me, so I'm not sure.
It is, but if you can handle the waterboarding feature of the neti pot, if you can actually stand that, it's very cleansing and very cleaning. And I actually had an Ayurvedic doctor who's on the show. Here, Healthy You Radio.
Excellent.
She had me put.
Tissue yours.
Thank you. She had me put a little bit of turmeric in there for inflammation and just a few grains of cayenne pepper.
Beautiful.
I know you'd think that'd be really bad putting in your nose, but it just all comes out in the wash, as it were. Yes, it works very well. So there you go. So if you get nothing else out of the show today, there's a little tip. Neti pots.
And I apologize for jumping right in before he even said hello to me.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
But as soon
as you started talking about the being sick thing, I was right on board with
you
because I had spent the last week just,
congested. It's congested, icky,
isn't it? It's no fun.
And that's what's going around. That's what a lot of people are saying is that it's a congestion thing. So icky, icky, icky. Well, our guest today can probably also give us some tools and techniques on how we can stay safe and sane and healthy. We've got Denise Paulette with us today. And we'll be talking more with her. She's a local actress and she's doing some incredible things. We're going to talk about what she's doing. But first, I wanted to let everybody know that we need to remember we've got a wonderful sponsor of the show, Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise, and they're wonderful sponsors of ours. Also wanted to remind everybody, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to remind again, I am conducting a class on the 29th of March, and this is a class called Suspension of Attention. And what it is we're going to learn how to recognize and understand people's unconscious and nonverbal intention. So it's going to be very interesting and fascinating to kind of delve in that topic on what people are really saying when they're not saying anything. And the way that you do that is not through, you know, ESP or reading people's minds. It's actually how you interpret your own reactions to people. Fascinating work, fascinating topic. That's going to be at the YWCA in Issaquah. And that's going to be on the 29th of March from 5:30 until 8:30 p.m. And I'll have that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page. Or you can go to Walk the Talk with Kim and go to my main page. And there's information there under Ariano Consulting, which is soon to change. I'm actually changing my company name here shortly. And it's going to be Workforce Evolution. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get closer. Lots of things going on.
The name is evolving.
The name is evolving, but this is it.
Right along with everything else.
Yes, exactly. This is as far as it's going to go. I wasn't going to change my name, but I was sitting down talking to this incredible marketing person, Pia Larson with Fingerprint Marketing. Great little marketing organization up in the Snoqualmie Valley. I'll give her a plug. But she asked, she says, do you want to change your name and your logo? I said, no, because to come up with what I've done so far is agonizing because I'm not a marketing person.
Sure.
And it was painful. I said, no, I don't want to spend time on that. Let's just work on, you know, how we're going to get this information out. And after that first meeting, my mind exploded with all these ideas. And about 15 minutes after she left, the name came. I went, okay, I guess we're changing the name and the logo. So you got to go with the flow.
That's a good name.
Thank you very much. And there's a lot around that we're going to be incorporating to the show. So things are going to change just slightly here, but we're still always looking for nonprofit, mission-driven, and community organizations that want to come on to the show and talk about all of the really great work that they're doing. That's why we're here, and that's why we're sponsoring and why we're supporting the show. And so if you're out there and you're part of a nonprofit, or if you're part of a mission-driven organization, or even a community-based organization, and you want to come on and talk about what it is that you do and what's your passion and lessons that we can learn from what you're doing, please reach out to info@workforceevolution.com. Again, that's info@workforceevolution.com. There's no charge for speakers to come on and no charge for guests to come on the show. It's just an opportunity for people to come on and tell us their stories. And that's how we do the show. It's great stuff going on. So again, info@workforceevolution.com. So I'd like to invite my guest today, a very wonderful friend of mine, and I've known that she's an actress. She did a one-woman show, or is doing a one-woman show, and I went and I saw it the first time, and it blew me away, and then I went and saw it the second time, and I got more out of it the second time than I did the first time, because first time you're just overwhelmed with the experience. The second time, you're really into the experience.
Right.
So I want to welcome Denise Paulette to the show today. Welcome, Denise.
Thank
How are you?
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Really appreciate it.
Of course.
I'm doing well. Yeah.
Good, good. Thanks. Well, I want you to come on the show because we talk a lot about passion, and we talk about people that find what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And you are so incredibly talented. And
like I said,
I saw the show, it was just... amazing. We're going to talk about it because it's a one-woman show.
Yeah.
This is an hour plus.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is the show?
It's hour 10, hour 15.
Yeah. Of you and dialogue.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Me, myself, and I.
And can you imagine out there, listeners, it's just you. Well, some of us can go an hour and 10 minutes.
Exactly.
No problem. But actually be entertaining
right,
at the same
right.
time.
Yes. Yes.
But you're doing something really spectacular. So you've been doing this one-woman show, Zelda, and it's about Zelda Fitzgerald. And we'll talk more about the show because the story is fascinating. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But you are going to take the show on the road to Scotland for a festival out there. And so you're in the process of raising some funding because you're it. This is you doing this.
It's a one woman show.
From soup to nuts. I don't know how you do it. This is not even my little show is a one woman show. I've got Eric. I've got other people. You know, you're absolutely one woman. So we want to tell folks on how they can get engaged and get involved and see the show.
Right.
So tell us about Zelda, tell us about the play. What is it?
Okay.
Tell us about it.
So Zelda Fitzgerald, Mrs. F. Scott Fitzgerald, and the play was written by William Luce, and he had done other one-person shows like The Belle of Amherst, but it's based on her writings, which is one of the brilliant things about the piece, because about 60 to 70% of the show are her own words. So it's very lyrical. It's very passionate. And Zelda married Scott when she was 20 years old. She was the Belle of Montgomery, Alabama. She was the prettiest girl there, and she was also the biggest flirt and the most mischievous. I always think of the story that's in her biography by Nancy Milford of when she was 6 years old. She called the fire department and said there was a young girl trapped on the roof, and she gave them her home address. And then she ran up to the roof and sat there and waited for them to arrive to come and get her. So it's really a testament to her personality. And so she marries Scott, and their life just explodes with his first novel, This Side of Paradise. And all of a sudden, they're in Paris and meeting Hemingway and all these famous people. And it was different at that time because writers didn't usually have that kind of fame. It was mostly for, you know, the actors and actresses type thing. And she was having a great time. She got a little tired of the partying. But then what happened worse was her first breakdown when she was 30, and she was diagnosed with schizophrenia at that time. And so she spent the next 17 years in and out of sanitariums. Mm. It was later changed to bipolar. So she was, you know, she wasn't like people always think schizophrenia is crazy, but it's not that. It's really there's like this angst, and it's an inability to focus for long periods of time. But you still have clarity. You still have the longings in your life for what you want, which is what she was going through, was to get back to Scott and to get back to her young daughter and to really live in her art.
And so I think what was amazing for me is you as an actress, you know, having to portray the Belle of Alabama.
Right.
We can imagine that would be pretty fun, but you have to also portray someone who is in the throes of a mental disability.
Right.
And how do you draw from that in your work? Where do you draw from that?
Well, it was interesting because I didn't really set out to play schizophrenia. What I worked on was what was it that would set her off. And truly, it's the same thing that set me off. You know, when life is closing in on me, when I feel like I'm out of options or I just can't get to where I need to go, that sense of overwhelming, and then carrying it to a place where what would happen if I didn't have support or if I couldn't think clearly. And I think I've never taken a poll, but I think all of us have those moments where we just cannot see the forest through the trees. And, you know, it's pulling the shades down or turning on the TV for too long. You know, all those little moments that we have, well, then you just take that and go with it. And that's really what has always tripped my trigger as an actress. I've always wanted to be able to bring those kind of emotions to people so that they can experience them and have some kind of connection, whether it's joy or laughter or, but just that wow moment of making the connection.
Mm-hmm. And so for those of us that don't know the difference between F. Scott Fitzgerald and Francis Scott Key, tell us a little bit about F. Scott Fitzgerald. I mean, how should we know of him, or how should we think of him? What time period did he write?
Right. So he wrote in the 20s. He was actually named after Francis Scott Key. He was a distant relative. And there's a great line in the play about that where she teases him about being related to him. Yeah, he wrote in the early 1900s, the 20s. He coined the phrase the jazz age. The whole flapper persona was his way of viewing Zelda when they were first together. And he pinned that on her. And so she struggled for many years to release it because everybody assumed she was an airhead and just wanted to party. But his prose, it was the first time, because This Side of Paradise is all about this young man that's in university and coming to terms with life. And those types of things weren't really written about at that time by such a young man and so well. And so that really put him on the map. And then he started writing in between his novels. He was doing a lot of magazine articles. And then he eventually went to Hollywood and was script writing there as well.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Denise Paulette about being an actress here in the Puget Sound area, as well as this adventure that she's going on that we're so excited to be sending her off. And we're also going to learn a little bit more about Zelda Fitzgerald. It's a fascinating story. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link. Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We're back, and you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim here on KKNW AM 1150. And for those of you that are listening worldwide on www.walkthetalkwithkim.com, welcome. I was really excited to hear we've got listeners all over the world that listen
That's
to the show
cool.
streaming. Yeah, I always thought that That's was awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah, I got someone from Russia and even nice. Somebody from Turkey, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, all these strange places. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's wild what kind of pops up. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank
and
you.
So we're talking with Denise Paulette, and Denise has a one-woman show named Zelda that mm-hmm. she's producing and has put on all over the area around here.
Right.
But she wants to take this show to Scotland.
Yes.
So why, what, how did this come up that there's right. this opportunity in Scotland and yeah. you think Zelda needs to go there?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How does that happen?
How does
right?
that happen? Yeah, of all
random
places.
Thoughts.
Did you just kind of spin the globe and go,
yeah,
Scotland.
Going there. Yeah, that looks great. Let's yeah. put ourselves through that.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought about it originally last year when I was doing Zelda then, and I got a late start. The festival's in August, and I had started researching in March, and I was already too late. So I was like, wow, okay. But the festival itself, it's the first Fringe Festival, started in 1947, and it was created for performers that weren't on the main stages, that weren't in the union houses, and really just wanted their pieces to be seen. And so the Fringe Festival, they're all over the world, but they're everything from soup to nuts. There's no confines. And so I knew that I would have a space there, that there would be nothing for me to get in the way, that the show could be there. And I also wanted Zelda to be more well known. When I do the show, I have prints of her work in the lobby. I have all her books out because she's just not as well known as she should be. And she was an amazing artist and an amazing writer. And so Scotland just seemed like such a lovely place. And then I always wanted to go there in regards to my other work. I do a lot of shamanic work, and Scotland's a pretty magical place. So it's going to be a great time to be there and explore.
You have no idea what your experience is going to take you.
Exactly.
I'm so excited
yeah.
for you. Zelda's taking
yeah.
you to see how it's all merging together.
She is. Yeah. It's
Isn't
pretty wild?
Wild.
Yeah. It's just lovely.
So why did you choose Zelda? I mean, how
right.
did that call to you?
Right. Well, I had originally seen a one-man show at the Intimon years ago, and I was blown away by the guy's performance. It was Lackawanna Blues with Ruben Santiago Hudson. It was the story of his life, and I didn't really think my life was anything that needed to be put on a stage. So I was looking for scripts, and a dear friend of mine, Jane Ross, she had written her own show about another woman in history and had toured it. And so she said, well, here's a bunch of scripts. And Zelda was the first one I read. And I was blown away by the lyrical prose in it. And then by the emotion of everything this woman went through in her life. And I thought, well, my goodness, I don't even know who this is. And when I started doing the research of her life story, it was pretty fantastical. And I love the challenge of being on stage by yourself and bringing these pictures to life, to give the words movement and emotion.
So when you do decide to do a one-person show, I mean, we think actresses or actors, they get up on stage, but there's yeah. a lot of direction. There's a
right.
lot of props. I mean, even right. though it's a very small stage that
right.
you're on,
yep.
there's you got to work with the props. I mean,
yes.
the props are as much of an actor
yes.
Or an actress as anything else. And
right.
how did you go through that process? Did you ask for some help, or did you dream
yeah.
about it, or how does that all come to be?
It was a combination. I mean, there's definitely things in the script. You know, I have a little doll with me. I'm knitting. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. Those things are in the script. And then I had a wonderful director, Vince Balestri, that my friend Jane had told me about that she had worked with. And it's actually a godsend when you have tasks to do on stage, because otherwise it's boring for the actor and it's even more boring for the audience. So you really enjoy that process. And then you just start kind of unraveling the reason why, first of all, the playwright put it in there, and how does it affect the character, and what does the character need from that prop that they're using. And so, you know, like with the doll, it was a childhood memory for Zelda, so she had it with her. You know, so you fill in the blanks if it's not in the script, so that you have reasons for what you're doing. Because the one thing an audience knows is truth. And so if an actor and actress isn't in their truth as they believe it, the audience will know it absolutely in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the knitting, it was beautiful because it's quite funny when she speaks of it, but it also is a way for me as an actress to show the angst, because if I'm knitting while I'm having an attack, it looks different than if I'm knitting and telling a joke. So those nuances come into play, and that just deepens the experience and gives color for the audience.
It's amazing. I remember, you know, the play itself is really around the asylum. There's a lot of asylum pieces, but you are able to take the audience out of the asylum and really put her in period as she's talking about these aspects of her life, her days of the party and all of that, and the use of the cigarette, you know, and the way that you hold yourself. And you can almost see, it's kind of odd as an audience member to see somebody who's portraying somebody who's in an asylum in the 50s actually portraying that person talking about when they were in the 20s.
Right,
and so
right.
you get taken back to all these different areas. You do it absolutely famously. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show. Do you have any Zeldas coming up locally? Or you said you were talking about maybe doing something locally. How would people know if you were going to do something locally? Do you have a site or a place where people can go to get more information?
Yes, I have. It's on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Zelda Fitzgerald on stage.
Okay.
So that always has all the shows that are coming up. And it's very possible that I'll be doing a fundraising show, depending on how things are going in the next few days. So that would be coming up.
Zelda Fitzgerald.
On stage.
On stage. Mm-hmm. So we'll make sure that we put that on the Walk the Talk with Kim page and our Facebook page as well, so that folks that are interested could look.
Right.
And if you go to the Facebook page right now, Walk the Talk with Kim, you'll see the article so that you can see Denise and what she looks like. Very beautiful, striking woman. And you can get some more information on the actual play itself. But I encourage you, and I will encourage my audiences when you announce it, that this is well worth the time, and I would highly recommend somebody to go see it. I'm really excited that people in Scotland are going to see it.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay, so now you are in the midst of fundraising. So you've gotten just enough now to say, okay, you know, we're going to do it.
It's a go.
You still have some more to go. I think, as you put me, you've got to get yourself on a plane and you got to make flyers.
Room and board and advertising. But the big stuff, the theater has been secured with a down payment, and then the fundraising that I've been doing on Indiegogo has secured the rest of that, and the registration, which are the critical pieces in the next couple weeks.
I want to plug a little bit and talk about Indiegogo, because I had never heard of this website until I looked at it from your perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is where folks, if you need to do any kind of personal or professional fundraising, I was amazed. There are people that are raising money so that they can produce a record.
Yes.
There are people that are raising money so that they can, you know, do work in Africa. There's people that are raising money. I saw one high schooler who was raising money so that he can do his own show.
Exactly.
I mean, people, it's just average everybody that are going, hey, I've got something that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm putting it out there. And if people want to give $5, $10, $15 to my cause, I mean, and people are helping each other. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's, how did you come across this site?
I had originally heard about Kickstarter.com, which is just for the arts. And then someone else mentioned Indiegogo. And it is an incredible thing because it's the whole notion of the village supporting the one. It's like I've been telling people, I only need 170 people to give me $20 each. And that's a pretty small deal, which makes a lot more sense than, hey, I need $8,000.
Right.
And the great thing about Indiegogo is they give you a choice. You can either do a fixed fundraiser or flexible. And fixed is where if you make your goal, you keep the funds. If you don't, you don't get any of the funds. Flexible is you make whatever will give you anything that you raise. So you have that choice. So it's which is different from Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Indie covers everything, like you said, you know, people that need to raise money for surgeries or health issues and or art projects or anything. I mean, it's really it's the best of the 21st century, I think, as far as the Internet goes.
What a great site. Yeah. And I love how you're able to set it up, too, to say, okay, if you donate $20, you get your name here. And if you donate X, you get a signed, you know, print. So there's, you can actually feel like, and I feel that I am helping produce the show for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I can't do it alone. It's, you know, I can't there's nothing I can do alone except stand on stage. And even that, I needed a director and I need someone to hit the light switch and, you know, run the music cues. So, yeah, that's the exciting part about it, that everybody can be involved. And I love the idea because everyone that contributes is going to be in the program in Scotland. Mm. So I'm taking every single person with me over there. So,
you're even taking Walk the Talk with Kim with you over there. I'm very excited about that. No, very excited about this opportunity for you.
Thank you.
When is it?
It's in August. I believe my dates are I'm performing the third week. I get there the second week because there's a lot to do. They want you to run press for a week, and you apparently just plaster your posters all over Scotland and hawk yourself on the street corners. Come to my show.
Well, the name like Fitzgerald, well, is that Irish though, right?
Oh,
Fitzgerald?
Good question.
Sure.
Uh-oh, I'm going to feign ignorance.
Okay, do that here.
Yes.
So when you go over there, it's not an international incident,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Just say Zelda.
Right.
That's all it has to
right.
be is Zelda. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Denise has agreed to read some of Zelda, or perform, I should say.
That's fine.
Some of Zelda for our listening audience here. This is quite a treat on the Walk the Talk with Kim show. We're very excited. Again, for more information on Zelda, it's www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Or you can join us on our Facebook page. There'll be tons of information there, as well as links, so that you can check it out at Walk the Talk with Kim on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and come on back. We're going to get in a performance.
Yay!
You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days with the My Weight Loss to Wellness Accelerated Weight Loss Program. No celebrities, no HCG, and no prepackaged food. See results in just 7 days. We use award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com. And mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
More choices, more topics, more shows, one station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, Ariano here, and I'm here with Denise Paulette and Eric, of course. You're playing this music. You know, the only thing I really know about Scotland is from Train Spotting, which is probably not.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that awesome? I love that movie. But yes.
But probably not one the tourist board would support necessarily.
Probably not. No, and we won't start quoting from that movie either, because it's probably not appropriate for our listeners on the show. But you've been to Scotland. You said you've been to Scotland.
Yeah, I was just in Edinburgh last year, a beautiful, gorgeous place. And I never made it for the Fringe Festival because it just goes nuts.
It does.
During August when they have the Fringe Festival, when it lasts all month.
All month.
I'm very excited for you. This is going to be a really cool thing because there's just tons of people flock to Edinburgh from all over the world.
Yep.
Not just to perform, but to see all these performances. Yeah. You should have a good crowd.
So. Thanks.
So if you're going to Edinburgh, Scotland in August.
For the Fringe Festival.
For the Fringe Festival world or famous. For any reason, you need to go see
Zelda,
which you'll give us more information. We'll certainly pass that information on. So thank you for that. That's very exciting. I'm even getting excited for you.
Yeah, well, you might have to come.
I have to figure out how I can come. Yeah, and maybe I'll have to come videotape it for you, or we'll have to do a walk the talk with Kim on scene from...
Right.
I don't know. What time would that be? They're an 8-hour time difference,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're about 8 hours ahead.
So about 11:30 at night.
Do a special.
I think so. We'll do the whole show.
That's awesome. I need a Zelda cam anyway. So.
There you go. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll. I don't think I can go. But I'll be there with you in spirit.
Okay.
Yes,
now, I just want to clear up for the people that are under the age of 20 that are listening. This is not about the Legend of Zelda, the video game, right?
Right.
This is
Zelda Fitzgerald. So
what was the most interesting thing? I mean, I know she's a fascinating woman, but what was the part of this as you were reading about her that was just so fascinating for you?
It's hard to put it into one. I think seeing this young woman, the thing that always reverberates with me when I think about her is that this was a woman in the South that had gone through high school, and I was just blown away by her language and how she has such art in just her written word.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that was incredible that someone, you know, because generally when we think of writers, they've got all this training and they do all this book work. And she was not that. She lived so much in the moment of her life, and she just wanted to enjoy life. And she really did that by marrying someone as crazy as Scott. So that was a part of me that really connected her. And the other piece was how she kept going through the difficulties. With her illness, it was always to get better and to get out and to be home. She never gave up, and she used her artistry to get her back to wellness. And so to see that, the strength, that kind of fortitude is something that really taught me a lot.
And she was a beautiful painter as well.
Yes, she was. Yeah. She was.
It's so understated, probably in the shadow of F. Scott. And we lose so much of history. I mean, we talk about the jazz age, and I mean, how much do we really know about the jazz age unless it's something you were interested in? It's not, you know, common folklore.
Exactly.
It's a fascinating point in history, and I think that it's underestimated that how much that period of time and the youth at that period of time. I mean, when you talk about hippies in the 60s, you can talk about the flapper movement, you know, in the 20s and in the 30s during Prohibition. That was huge. That was definitely a huge shift in culture. It was a huge shift in social norms and acceptability, and they were front and center, and that's what Scott wrote about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, something as simple as women bobbing their hair. That was a big freaking deal.
You showing their knees.
Yeah, the dresses were coming up the leg. Undergarments were getting softer and softer. Women were smoking in public. Women were almost got the right to vote, you know, about 1918, I think, was when we got it. So, I mean, there was just amazing things happening.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, you have offered, and I'm very excited that you are going to do a reading for us. Can you tell us a little bit about this scene?
Yeah. So this scene is, this is just Zelda reminiscing about when she was a young girl and waking up in the morning.
Okay. You're listening to Denise Paulette, who's going to be doing a reading from the one-woman show Zelda that is going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland, and hopefully soon here so we can go see it.
I remember when I was a little girl, I'd lie awake at night. The aroma of pears from across the way would fill my room. And as I'd fall asleep, I could hear a band playing waltzes in the distance. I remember waking up early in those moated mornings, those lost mornings, the sun all yellow and red like a huge luminous peach, hanging ripe on a black shadow tree, just visible through the mist. There'd be amber squares of light across my bed. I'd be all sleepy-eyed with cold toes and tangled hair, but I'd still feel so clean and wholesome all day long just because I'd seen the sunrise. Especially in July, I loved it, out there in the picked cotton fields with the sky running red lava down dirt fields as if they were about to be buried under a furious glory. Every place has its hours. There's Rome in the glassy sun of a winter noon. There's Paris under a blue gauze of spring twilight. And there's a red sun flowing through the chasms of a New York dawn. But in Montgomery, in 1920, there was a time, a quality, that pertained to nowhere else. It began about 6:30 on an early summer evening with the flicker and splatter of the corner streetlights going on. And it lasted until the great incandescent globes were black with moths and beetles, and the children were called to bed from the dusty streets, and the grown-ups sat out on the porches, talking. Who's from Montgomery? Anybody? Well, I remember. Time was tradition, and the past was actuality. Zelda! Mama? Oh, Mama, you can't imagine what a commotion my ring caused at the country club. Honestly, Mama, the whole dance was completely upset. And Lucy Goldthwait, well, she told Theodosia Lee that... Oh, Mama, I am standing up straight. No, Mama, I don't want it that way. I want it to drop off the shoulder like this, see? It will too stay up. Jane Mason's wedding dress stayed up, and she's flat as an old pancake. Well, then I'll wear my gray suit to be married in. Confederate gray. I may even bob my hair. I'll probably look like hell. Zelda! I feel as though I'm walking a tightrope, and Scott's love is the parasol balancing me. Daddy gave me the trip up north as a wedding present. He and Mama didn't want to go to see me get married. Actually, they were glad the wedding was in New York. Scott being Irish Catholic and all, they didn't think a Catholic ceremony go over very big in our hometown. Besides, Daddy didn't approve of Scott, because he was a Princeton dropout, a drinker, and a Yankee. When Daddy put me on the train for New York, he looked so handsome standing there. Goodbye, baby. I was afraid I'd cry. Goodbye, Daddy. The train pulled me out of that shadow-drenched land forever.
More! More! Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
So what was she going through when she was reminiscing, do you think? What do you, at that stage in her life, did she write those words? You said about 60% of that was written by her.
Yeah.
Very beautiful, melodic.
Yes. Yeah, her description was just off the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can really see it.
Yeah.
I can really see it.
There was
a
lot of emotion in those few words.
Yes, exactly. She adored her childhood. I mean, she was the youngest. She was an afterthought, kind of a whoops child. You know, her dad was a judge, and her mom spoiled her rotten, and she just got away with everything. And so she really adored her childhood. So that was the place of wellness, solace, and fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when she speaks of those times, it just opens her heart, and it steadies her, and then it gives her a place to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Now, did she divorce or they divorced?
They never divorced. No, he moved to Hollywood to make money, to write. And so he did take up with a woman out there, but they never did the divorce thing. They didn't want to. And then he had a heart attack. So
And died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also learned that Zelda did also lose a child as well, which was quite. Didn't she?
Didn't they have a child? They did have a child.
Right.
Oh, lose her, you mean as far as estranged?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty was a real sweetheart. She was quite a mover and shaker. She was a Democratic lobbyist in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Fun facts.
Fun facts. Little things that you don't know. But she talks about having the baby and all that
right.
kind of fun stuff
right.
as well.
Right.
A very exciting for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's next for you after you do this one-woman show? Do you want to take Zelda even further? Or are you thinking now you've done Zelda for how long? And
Right. You know, it's hard to say because every time I think Zelda's done, something comes forward that says, no, this is next. So, I mean, it has been 3 years. And I'm actually a little bit older than Zelda when she passed. So I'm always thinking about that. But I really, to me, the Fringe Festival is the cherry on top. So once that's done, my sense is that I'll be letting it go. And I'm hoping to get to Alabama before the festival to do it at the Fitzgerald Museum.
Oh,
for
that
her
would be
birthday.
Wonderful.
Yeah, in July. So that's on the books as well.
Oh, that would be absolutely wonderful. Yeah. So what's next? Are you going to do another one woman or you think you're going to go to an ensemble again? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm in Moon Over Buffalo at Valley Center Stage right now. And that's a hysterical farce that's just funny. If you want to have a great laugh, it's in North Bend, the end of April, beginning of May. And then we'll just see. As long as I'm working, I'm happy. So
awesome. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit for those of us that aren't into the theater community. We hear about these local, you know, theaters that we have around town. Right. Now, are these professional actors that are typically doing these or is it the local people get together? I have to tell you. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to allow you to answer it. But it just reminded me of something. We went down to Arizona. We went to Tombstone for Christmas year before that. And it seems that it's whoever volunteers gets to do the, and so they have this whole shootout at the OK Corral. Now, the shootout at the OK Corral was about 8 seconds, but they need to charge people and make a show out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
So they do the OK Corral as the finale, but then they have other things that went on, little shootouts here and there. So they have about six different famous shootouts.
Right.
They did one, you know, prostitute stabbing another prostitute, and then they brought in the rose. And the, I mean, but this was community. So, I mean, these were not professional actors and actresses. This was people who, you know, fit in the dress and then they
absolutely could make the rehearsals. Yeah,
it was quite entertaining, to say the least. But I mean, you go to a theater, a local theater, and they are really good shows. Can you tell us about that theater community?
Yeah. Well, Valley Center Stage in particular, you're speaking of. Yeah. It's actually run by Gary Schwartz, and he is a professional actor. He's from L.A. He was actually in Quest for Fire, and he's got a whole improv workshop that he does based on Viola Spolin, who really was the woman that began Second City, you know, in Chicago. I mean, just the improv comes from her. It's pretty amazing. So we are professional in that regard. We have a lot of dedicated people that have been doing this work for years and years and years. And then we also welcome people that want to get up on stage and give it a go. And we have a lot of plays, like when we do Christmas Carol, that allow for that because there's a lot of small roles and simple things that people can start out in to get their feet wet. But yeah, it's a pretty dedicated group of people.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Zelda Fitzgerald and what's next. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days and be that sexy Valentine again. We offer a rapid, effective, and safe program that transforms your health as fast as it transforms your body. Get started now and save $100 with the Listener Appreciation Discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightloss2wellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at ThinkShop.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
1150 KKNW.com, your connection to alternative talk, 1150 AM.
Don't wanna be anywhere else, just wanna be an Edinburgh. And I wish I was in Edinburgh.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and of course, our eclectic music man over here, Eric. Thank you for that.
That's the only song I know that's about Edinburgh.
Is it? Who does that song?
The Fall.
The Fall. Oh, The Fall. I thought that sounded familiar. Wait, are they still together as a band?
Still going.
Wow.
All different members except for Marky Smith, the singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still the only one remaining from the beginning, but still going. Yeah. Still putting out good stuff.
Oh, good for them. Oh, haven't heard that that kind of music in a long time. Yeah, for sure. I like that stuff. So somebody wants to be a producer of your show.
Yes.
They can donate.
Yes.
And be a named producer of the show.
Yeah, they end up as a backer, you know.
Yeah.
$20 will get you in the program, so your name will appear in the program in Scotland.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And I've been telling people, you know, I only need 171 people, I believe, to give me $20 each. So I'm really trying to get people to understand that it does not have to be this huge amount.
Right.
It just takes a lot of different folks to come together because I'm almost there. The site posts, I think we're up to 2550 there, but I've had a lot of snail mail. So I really only need another 3,500 out of the 8,000 that I'm looking for.
And how do people go to the site?
It's they can go, the simplest way is Indiegogo, IndieGogo.com. Mm-hmm. And then if you just put Zelda in the search, you can get there. And I'm running it through the 20th of March because of my deadlines coming up with registration and the theater, securing the theater there. And then I also have snail mail too. So they could certainly contact me. There's links on my page to the 3 minutes of the show, so they can see that, and then you'll see my email address, and you can go to my Facebook page. So there's various ways to contact me and say I'd rather send a check or whatever you want to do.
So let's take this one at a time. So
sure.
they can send it to you at PO Box 1853 in Snoqualmie.
That's
pretty easy.
Yep.
So PO Box 1853, and that's Snoqualmie 98065. And yes, we are a small town post office, so that's probably all you really have to do, and it'll probably get to you. But it's Denise Paulette is your name. And again, 1853 Snoqualmie 98065. You can send a letter there or send it via check if you'd like. Or Indiegogo, and again, you said Zelda.
In the search. Yep.
Now, if somebody wants to actually see a snippet of the play, you've got 5 minutes of the play. What site, where do they go for that?
That's DenisePaulette.com. Mm-hmm. And you just click on, just follow, you'll see a little picture to click on, click here, and then click the start button. And there I am. It's from the 2009 performance. It's actually, that might have been like the second run I had. at Valley Center Stage. So mm-hmm. it's in the beginning.
Ah, very good. I remember you did the performance at a small venue in Snoqualmie, and you had to work with a heater unit right there in the middle of your stage there. So
it was awesome. I ran into it. It was great. You know, that's what we live for on stage, are that little things that you can play with, you know, and the one thing you don't want to do is ignore it because the audience sees it. So I did kind of bump into it because the stage was only 12 by 12. so Zelda didn't really like a big old heater hanging down.
No.
But, you know, she dealt with it.
Yeah, I was worried you were going to knock yourself out. So how did you decide you wanted to become an actress? Famous question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we hear about actresses. I mean, how many actresses make it to the $12 million picture rate versus how many actresses that there are out there?
Yes.
What is it for you? What made you decide that you wanted to be an actress?
Well, actually, there's an incredible connection to Zelda with that because when I was a young girl, I had gone to see the sequel to Funny Girl, which was Funny Lady with Barbara Streisand. And there's a scene where she and James Caan have just had a fight on the train. And then he falls asleep in her lap and she's singing this beautiful song about "More Than You Know, Man of My Heart, I Love You So." And it was such a beautiful scene. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to be able to connect to people and move them that way. You know, I've been singing since I was 2 and all those shows, you know, that you put on for your folks. But that was the point where I really wanted to do film and wanted to connect. And so then, you know, fast forward a way long time, but decades and decades, and I'm doing the research for this show, and Zelda refers to Vincent Humans. And I thought, well, who is that? So I did the research on him, and he wrote More Than You Know. And so it was just a huge, it was such a beautiful connection for me. And so to answer your question, it's that way to create pictures for others so that they have an experience. That's my main thrust for why I act. I mean, I love the work. It comes easily to me in that regard, you know, like anybody else when you're good at something. But I also just, it sends me over the moon if people have a moment, and especially in theater when you share it with them. Mm-hmm. It's pretty profound.
What are some other plays or some acting things that you've done that have been really meaningful to you, like Zelda has been?
Right. Well, actually, the one, it sounds strange, but when I did Dracula, it was pretty amazing. I did it in Everett a few years ago, and I was playing Mina. And the thing that was lovely about her, she had this huge arc of going through the, oh, poor Jonathan, the vampire's going to get him, to turning into the vixen and killing Dracula, you know. So I thought, wow, okay, that's some transition I can really get my heart into, you know. So it was pretty, it was a lovely show. And besides just the character going through all that, I was going through trap doors, and I was changing costumes 5 times, and I was wearing fangs, and you know, it was a beautiful experience. And at one point, there was a scene with Dracula and I, and he's got me under his spell, hypnotizing me, and the cast would always come upstairs to watch that scene in the wings. So those kinds of things, they mean a lot to me because it means that I'm getting through and I'm using my gifts. I'm doing what I was here for.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about,
exactly,
right?
The passion.
So what would you tell aspiring young actors and actresses out there?
Right. I think the most important thing that I was not told that tripped me up was you must be yourself. You must mine whoever that is in you. You've got to dig it up and be that. Don't look at what's the trend or, oh, I want to be like this person. It's not about the color of your hair, your eyes, your size. It's being the best instrument that you can be, because that's what's going to resonate with people, and that's what's going to get you the job and also keep your career alive. Because at some point, like for me, I'm not ingenue, but there's many, many, many roles for me to play.
Mm-hmm. That would be sound advice for anybody.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the truth of it. You know, I think that's where I got so caught up, because I really didn't know how to present myself. And I didn't have a mentor that could say, you know, you just need to be the best you can be, however that shows up.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Zelda's that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's
I would agree.
Thank you. There's just so much exploration in a piece like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Now we have just a couple of minutes left. Again, if people want to donate, they can go to Indiegogo and .com. And is it .com?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they can put in Zelda. And I would also, for nonprofits and people out there that are looking, go research that site anyway, because yes. I think that there's some incredible information. But of course, go see Zelda and right. what you're doing. And any folks that are aspiring or catching the bug, I'm sure Denise would love to have a conversation with
Absolutely.
You.
I love talking about the craft. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned your work in shamanic work as mm-hmm. well. And mm-hmm. so when you go to Edinburgh, are you going to be able to do anything with that there?
I certainly hope so. I have to do research on the different sites and see where I should be looking. But, you know, the Celtic Way is pretty profound. It's, mm-hmm. It has a very huge piece of history mm-hmm. in the shamanic realm. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't even scratched the surface of that yet. It's all about the funding right now, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's like when you have free time.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
But this is going to be exciting. So there's going to be actors and actresses from all over the world converge here.
There was 40,000 of them last year.
Wow.
2,000 shows.
Where do they stay?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out all over Scotland.
You're going to be sleeping on some sofa
bed
somewhere.
Exactly.
Sofa bed.
The hay out in the barn.
You know? Someplace. Oh, who knows? Well, I have no idea. Is Edinburgh big, Eric?
No.
It's about the size of Seattle.
Okay.
It's about 500,000 people.
You can find something there.
Okay.
And you're already acclimated.
I am.
So
similar
I think
weather.
Okay.
Lots of green. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of you and I'm so excited. Thank you for bringing your gift and thank you for reading to us today. That was, or for performing, I should say, because that wasn't reading. That was performing. That was beautiful. And thank you. We're very honored.
Oh,
and
thank you for
definitely
the opportunity.
Want to help you. Absolutely. Go to walkthetalkwithkim.com for an archive of this show so that you can hear it again and again and again. And don't forget to support your local community. Thanks for listening.